Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Why are you pro-choice? That's our question of the hour today. Why are you pro-choice? Trent Horn is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to discuss with us why you are pro-choice, we would like to have that discussion with you. 888-318-7884. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. And if you are pro-choice for whatever reason, maybe personally opposed, but politically opposed, or this is your understanding of women's rights, or any other reason why you might be pro-choice, we would love to have a conversation with you about that. Trent Horn, himself a convert to the Catholic faith, is a staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. He's the author of quite a few books now: Answering Atheism, Persuasive Pro-Life, Why We're Catholic, and the brand new — and I have this on my desk now, it just came — the brand new The Case for Catholicism from Ignatius Press. Hi, Trent.
Hello, Cy.
You happy with the book, The Case for — we already talked about this, I think — The Case for Catholicism.
Well, I'm willing to indulge you a little bit more to talk about it, because a lot of research went into that book, and I'm very happy with how it turned out. That I think now it really will stand as the most comprehensive, up-to-date, single-volume defense of Catholicism against Protestant objections. You know, it was funny over the weekend, a few days ago at least, a Mormon apologist who runs a popular blog, and he's a very knowledgeable Mormon apologist, I will say. He actually read through my book, and he mentioned it on his blog, and he said that this is — if you want a single volume defense of Catholicism, he said this was a cut above the standard fare. Which I take as a compliment.
It's a heck of a lot better than a cut below. again, 888-318-7884, our number. The topic this hour: why are you pro-choice? That seems like that would be a good Christmas gift then. I'm not trying to sell books for you, Trent. I don't want you to get me wrong. But it seems like The Case for Catholicism, along with Why We're Catholic, those would be some nice Christmas presents.
I think so. And help me out here, Cy, if possible. I think we can facilitate people who are looking for gift ideas, because at our shop website at shop.catholic.com, I believe if you enter a certain promo code, you can get a little Christmas discount. Am I correct on that?
You are. I'm not allowed to give out the promo code, however, so people just have to guess until they get it. It's one of the seasons, though, and it's not summer, and it's not fall or spring. So let me just tell you, since you brought it up.
Wait. Arctic. Those are the four oceans, the four seasons, so to speak.
The four seasons. It's not the hotel. Listen, let me tell you how great this deal is. First of all, everything is 20% off. Everything. MP3s, DVDs, all of it, Trent. And then everything, you could put all of it into a box and we'll ship it to you for $5. Everything you buy, $5 flat rate. Rate shipping. You just go to shop.catholic.com, put in that promo code winter, and then you get all this stuff for 20% off and super cheap shipping, $5 flat rate shipping. I don't even know how they're doing that. I can't even imagine what kind of deal they have struck with the post office or Santa or who's ever. Maybe Santa needed a little pre-Christmas work, you know, pick up a little Christmas money and is delivering everything for $5. I don't know. Trent, this is not your first time here though, with the question, why are you pro-choice? I mean, you wrote the book Persuasive Pro-Life, and I just want to let you know, before we go on the air, sometimes people are having a conversation on Facebook about the show to come up, and there's a question about what kind of language to use, and some were suggesting using very harsh language about pro-choice people, including using terms like baby murderer. And I wonder how you feel about that kind of language. Is it all the time appropriate? Are there places where it's appropriate? Is it never appropriate? How do you feel about that?
I think it's fine to use strong language when it is completely 100% descriptive. And the language itself is not necessarily a piece of rhetoric, but is just an objective description. For example, if I say abortion results in the death of a human being, instead of just ending a pregnancy, that is a bit, that's more graphic than many other pro-choice euphemisms, but it's 100% correct, and many pro-choice authors will admit that. I cite them in my own book. But saying, for example, that any person who believes abortion should be legal is a baby murderer, I think that it may not be completely accurate to describe the position that they have, but more importantly, even if that were the case, it shuts down the conversation immediately. And I would ask pro-lifers to put themselves in the other person's shoe, that if someone who defends legal abortion said, okay, why are you against abortion? Obviously, you're a woman hater. You want to enslave women. You hate all born people. You hate babies. You don't support babies after they're born. And when people do that, it just raises the pro-lifer's blood pressure and you get angry. And that's why it's hard to have these conversations. So I think it's fine. Like, we shouldn't use completely sanitary language. We're dealing with a very disturbing reality here.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm fine. I want to use language that is descriptive of the other person's position, so then they could say, well, yes, that does describe it, even if I wouldn't necessarily use those words, and just get at the truth of the matter and have a good conversation about it. So when it comes to labels, for example, my policy is in this debate, not necessarily in every debate, but in this debate, I just use the labels each side chooses for themselves. So I like being called pro-life, not anti-choice. And most people I know like to be called pro-choice, not pro-abortion or pro-death or something like that. And that's fine. We have our labels, and they're very imprecise labels anyways. Let's just use them for the sake of convenience and then just ask questions and get at the root of our disagreement.
888-318-7884, our number. Why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person and you would like to share with us what reasoning has brought you to that position, we'd be very, very happy to engage in that conversation with you. Trent Horn is our guest, and as I said, he is the author of many books, including Persuasive Pro-Life. Are we being persuasive, Trent? Do you have a sense that the pro-life movement is persuading people, or is it in the doldrums?
I think that the pro-life movement, it's very interesting. You look at Gallup and Pew and other polling agencies, and they look at the divide between people who identify as pro-life and pro-choice. And it's been essentially stagnant from 1974. The one demographic where we're seeing it increase would be among young people. Young people are more likely to identify as being pro-life than people in older demographics. So I do believe these arguments and evidences are persuasive to younger generations, millennials and younger. But even if things are stagnant, I think that that is a tribute to the pro-life position, really, because the pro-life position is trying to combat something that many people deep down want to be true, and they want abortion to be legal, not necessarily for purely rational reasons, but just because they want abortion. In fact, the Supreme Court recognized this in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Many people want abortion to be legal because it's their ultimate backup to contraception failing. So many people have a strong pragmatic interest in keeping abortion legal. And that strong pragmatic interest, you think, would just kind of convert almost everybody. But the fact the pro-life movement has drawn the line in the sand and it hasn't budged shows we are persuading many people. And this is not something that's going to go away in the near future.
Phone lines are filling up, so if you'd like to talk with Trent about why you are pro-choice, give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take calls for Trent right after this.
Catholic Answers Live with Trent Horn is coming right back.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent just around the bend, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale. With hundreds of great faith-building resources, all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code WINTER at checkout. With great new resources on Scripture, church history, the saints, Bible prophecy, and so much more, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the Internet. Going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store. Layla Rose says, Trent Horn really knows how to get people thinking and talking about abortion. Persuasive Pro-Life is an invaluable handbook for anyone who wants to become more skilled at defending the humanity of the preborn. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the online shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 18:35, when a blind man sitting by the roadside heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he immediately began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." When others tried to silence him, he cried out all the louder. He knew that in a matter of moments, and a few steps away, Jesus would have gone, never to return. This was his one chance. Do we ever pray like that? Is it ever that important to us that Jesus hear us? Jesus did indeed hear him and asked what he wanted. "Lord, please, that I may see." Jesus immediately gave him his sight and told him that his faith had saved him, thereby telling him that his confidence in Jesus was the greater gift. How much confidence do we have in him? Do we trust his love for us? Or, blinded by our egos, do we fail to see? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice is our topic, and all but one line is, oh, look at that, I said all but one, and then that one lit up. So if you would like to talk with Trent about why you're pro-choice, we'd love to have that conversation with you. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. We pause momentarily, however, because we have just been joined by the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check. Hi, Chris.
I'm very happy to be here with you, Cy. How are you doing?
I am quite well and very happy to be here with you. And I can guess when you come in what we're going to talk about.
I thought it was pretty amazing how you said there's one line open and then it filled up. That's like a special host power that you have.
Yeah, I guess that is a special host power.
No, because like if Jimmy Akin were here, he would be talking about like special superhero powers, like all those different t-shirts
He
wears.
That might be my power.
They have a different – yours is – You say there's a line open and then it fills up.
I know that is. Look, well, there's a line open. didn't work that time. Trent, you going on the cruise?
Yes, I will be there. And Cy, that power sounds like a very limited form of technopathy, the control of technology, but of only one form. So
nice.
Not the best superpower.
Technopathy.
It'd be a form of technopathy. So to fill in where Jimmy might specify, yes, I will be on the cruise. Very excited. I hope our listeners go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. And I'm really excited to give a lot of talks just on Reformation, on apologetics, how to defend the faith, because we're going to be traveling through a lot of great areas where Catholic history took place along the Danube in southern Europe. And it's just going to be great. And what's awesome, I'm really happy to be able to give these talks and know everybody on the cruise is really there and wants to hear it, because we've got the whole boat.
The whole boat. Okay, so June 8th to the 15th. And by the way, we're planning the post-cruise in Prague right now, so we'll be announcing that soon. The thing I need to say first, Cy, is there are 62 or 63 cabins on this boat, and it is a boat. It's a river boat. And there are only 17 left.
Wow. So, holy smokes.
So if you have any interest in coming on this cruise, you need to visit today, CatholicAnswersCruise.com, or call our friends at the Cruise Authority, 844-217-6457, 844-217-6457, or CatholicAnswersCruise.com. So we sail from Budapest on the 8th, Bratislava, Vienna, Wilshaven, and one of the great gifts that we have, well, first of all, Archbishop Alexander Sample of Portland, Oregon, is coming with us, and Father Hugh Barber, our new chaplain. Father Hugh, of course, is intimately familiar with this region. His abbey, St. Michael's Abbey up in Orange, comes from Hungary, and he has excellent connections throughout the entire course of the cruise, and all of the shore excursions are customized. So we are going to see the most Catholic, the most magnificent Baroque abbeys, mm-hmm. cathedrals, churches, And as Trent says, our conversation, our presentations are all going to be about the Catholic history of the region, the theological debates, but also, of course, talks on the interior life and a lot of fun as well.
Some of these areas, Pope Benedict, these were his
Regensburg,
Regensburg.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was really the Catholic heartland for a long time. I mean, now if you said where's the Catholic heartland in the world, you'd say South America, probably, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But at one time, this was the heartland of the Catholic.
It's where church and empire, where altar and throne find perfect harmony.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about that. In fact, that's very much the theme for our cruise, altar and throne. The other thing, Cy, is the price for the cruise includes everything. Includes mm-hmm. all the shore excursions, everything but your airplane. All the shore excursions, all of the airport transfers, beer and wine every day, happy hour every day. I know that's important.
Do they have good beer in this part of the world?
They have good wine. All those crisp Alsatian wines. My friends, only 17 cabins remain. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. The entire boat, Emma Serena. This boat, I think, is 2 years old. State-of-the-art ship. Trent Horn, Archbishop Sample, Father Hugh, and yours truly, and a whole boat full of people who love the work of Catholic Answers, and more important than that, love Jesus Christ.
And Trent Horn. I know I'm repeating, but since you're here, Trent, I thought I'd say it again.
Catholic.
Yeah, and let's not forget that wonderful Baroque abbeys and monasteries, because you know what they say about Baroque architecture. If it's not Baroque, don't fix it.
Catholic Answers Cruise.
I just want to say he's going to work on his material before the cruise. He is going to work on his material before the cruise. The website is CatholicAnswersCruise.com. CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
All right.
Only 17 cabins left.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Chris.
Gentlemen, you have some souls to save. Get to work.
No, yeah, well, that is...
the Holy Spirit's job, but he's using you.
Yeah, I hope. Even more, I hope he's using Trent today, because Trent is the star of the show today. Why are you pro-choice is the question. We go now to Rick in Toledo, Ohio, listening to EWTN on 89.7 FM. Rick, you are on with Trent Horn. Your question.
Hey, so really love your show. Thank you so much
for giving
me such awesome food for thought every night on my drive home, so thanks.
Sure.
So I'm a Catholic, and obviously I'm expected to be much more pro-life than I am. I consider myself neutral. And the thing that I struggle with is I'm interested to know more about Scripture's definition of the initiation of life. Certainly I believe that every life is precious, mm-hmm. but how do we deem that it's as soon as the sperm meets the ovum that is life? I know our mm-hmm. understanding of science has greatly improved over the past few centuries, well, really over the past few millennia. But really, at the time that Scripture was written, really, did it really define life as that moment, or at what point is it? So that's why I'm neutral. I'd love to hear your opinions.
Sure. I heard Cy say, Rick, is it Rick or Rich?
It's Rich, but call me anything you want.
I apologize, Rich.
No. Sure thing. So Rich, here is my response to that. Scripture does not tackle the specific question of when human life begins. That's a scientific question. It's not one that Scripture explicitly answers, and Scripture also doesn't explicitly address whether abortion is right or wrong. It doesn't address that question. What we have to do is just look at what Scripture tells us, draw from that, and then also look at what reason, science, and common sense tells us. So when we look at Scripture, for example, we see that when Scripture refers to human life before birth, it refers to it as human life, as something to value. In Psalm 51, David says, I was a sinner from my conception. So he's talking about how, you know, he's lamenting that he had a sinful nature from the very beginning of his existence, which would imply that, you know, from the moment he came to be in his mother's womb, he had life and was a person and should be valued. Also, the Greek word for baby, brephos, that's used both for babies after birth, and it's also used of human beings before birth, the same word, just baby. It's used to describe, for example, John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth. So what I would say, though, is how I look at all of this, I would just say that Scripture is very clear that we should not kill human beings. Proverbs 6:16-17 says there are several things that God hates. One of those are hands that shed innocent blood. And Genesis 1:26 and 27 says human beings are made in the image of God. So if a human being exists, we should not kill them because they're made in God's image. And we can know from science that human life begins at conception. We can know this because of three things. First, at conception, you have something that's alive. It's growing. So it's growing by cellular reproduction. It has its an internal unity allowing it to grow. It has human DNA, human parents. And this is not just merely a body part. It is actually a whole organism. And we know that because the very words used to describe this entity, embryo or fetus, in biology textbooks, they just refer to the stages of development in the life of a human being. And in fact, in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, I cite numerous biology textbooks that say very clearly human life begins at conception or fertilization. So for me, if we know clearly from science that human life begins at conception, and scripture tells us to value human life, then a person should be against abortion. So that might be my quick explanation for you. How does that register? What do you think of that?
Well, it certainly makes a lot of sense, and that's definitely awesome. And I know with science we struggle with. I'm Dr. Farvesy myself, so I really enjoy science so much. I know that we struggle with determining when human life begins. However, I absolutely agree with everything what you're saying, and I don't want to take up too much time. But
no, that's fine.
Thank you so much for helping me.
No problem. Rich, what did you mean when you say with science we struggle to determine when human life begins?
Sure.
What do you mean by that?
Absolutely that an organism begins, but human life, I guess I know that the development of consciousness may be one of the things that's under debate as far as if that is when human life determined or is begun, and that's not until about the age of 2 to 4. So it's not that I'm trying to go around or I condone the killing of 1.5-year-old.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes. Well, Rich, let me jump in here because this is a common misunderstanding people have. The question of when life begins can be either a scientific question or a philosophical question. The scientific question just asks, when does a member of the human species come into existence? It's a biological category you can determine empirically. And that is not controversial at all. You can find embryology textbooks that affirm this, even writers who defend legal abortion, like David Boonin, a well-known philosopher, wrote a defense of abortion. He and I debated this subject a few months ago. He says in his book, just flat out, every unborn human being from conception onward is just a less developed human being, a biological human being. That's the scientific question is resolved fairly easily. What you're talking about is, well, philosophically, when does that organism have the value of a human person? Like, is it when it's conscious? Is it when it's sentient? And you're right, people do debate that. But my position would be that your value does not come from your function, because our function changes. Because, I mean, if you put it on consciousness, like you said, well, then you could defend infanticide. You could defend killing the disabled. It defends rather not on what you can do, but what you are. And you are a human being throughout your whole existence. And that is the best thing that grounds our equality and our human rights. So I hope that would be helpful food for thought. And then why don't you stay on the line? And I think what might be helpful for you, our call screener can get your name and I'll send you a copy of Persuasive Pro-Life. And that might hopefully fill in some of the gaps and help you reason your way through this this issue.
Rich, thank you very, very much for that call. Trent, I got to say, you give away more books on this show than anybody else. Like, people should line up to call. They're going to, I mean, not everybody's going to get a free book from you, but you do a pretty good number of free books to people. So what was the book you're going to send, Rich? Persuasive Pro-Life?
Yeah, because I think that where Rich is coming from, he says, I'm neutral. I want to understand this. And I think especially the chapter on human development and also philosophical definitions of life and personhood would be very, very helpful to him. And if it can help him become more pro-life and embrace what the church teaches on this issue, then it's well worth what we can send him. So I'm happy to do that.
Trent Horn is our guest. He's the author of Persuasive Pro-Life. He's also the author of Why We're Catholic, the book from Catholic Answers, and The Case for Catholicism, a brand new book from Ignatius Press. that I'm sure you're maybe thinking about for Christmas. 888-318-7884 is our number. Why are you pro-choice is the question of the hour. If you're pro-choice and willing to share it, give us a call.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings. Fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends. And pretty soon, we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know that there's a place you can turn first that features the newest, most exciting Catholic resources, as well as a huge selection by some of the best Catholic authors and speakers on the planet? It's our online store at shop.catholic.com. All of our offerings are time-tested and apologist-vetted and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And, of course, the lights are always on for your shopping convenience. It's one-stop shopping made affordable and easy. Shop.catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Super Monday Show. That's right, I've now named it the Super Monday Show. Trent Horn is our guest both hours, and we're talking about you. Why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person, we would very much love to have your call. Could you explain it to us, what your thinking is there? Or maybe you'd like to try to go, I shouldn't say just try to, maybe you'd like to correct us on something. Perhaps we have, you know, nobody's perfect. If we've got something wrong, we'd love to be corrected on that. But dialogue is what we're looking for, conversation about abortion and pro-choice. And we could say pro-abortion, but pro-choice is the, as you were saying earlier, Trent, it's the term, it's the label people use for themselves. And so we're trying to have good manners and use that, the label that you, who, if you are pro-choice, have chosen. But we like to discuss exactly what that choice involves. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Why are you pro-choice? We go now back to the phones where we talk with Eric in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Eric, why are you pro-choice?
Hey guys, what's up? It's, how you doing, Cy, Trent?
Hi, Eric.
I would say I think abortion's kind of like appalling. But my only viewpoint as far as being pro-choice would be I'm not the woman. There are cases where women are in abusive relationships or get raped or things of that nature to where they end up getting pregnant. And to them, the only way out and not have this longing memory or lingering memory of this mm-hmm. event in their life would be abortion. And I was kind of wondering your guys' point of view and the Catholic point of view as far as is that an acceptable situation to where you would have to get an abortion? And that's where I'm conflicted because I'm pretty much pro-life, but I'm not the woman either in that, yeah. in that for instance. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of seeing what you guys thought.
Sure, Eric, I'd be happy to oblige you. When you say that, you know, you're not the woman, so you wouldn't be able to understand, it seems like you're referring specifically to the situation of becoming pregnant through rape or being a victim of abuse. Because you said most abortions, from your perspective, you use the word appalling. Like, let's say somebody gets an abortion just because they want to finish college and they don't want to have to drop out of college. Would you say confidently that's appalling, that's morally wrong to kill a human being for that reason?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it seems to me then more you and I understand your concern. It's a rightful concern to have. Someone who's been a victim of rape or abuse, it's a horrible injustice, and it's something that we as men really don't have to face. I mean, there are men who are victims of rape, of course, victims of abuse, but men don't have the added worry of becoming pregnant from assaults or violations. That's something that women have to endure. And so you might think this is just a terrible, horrible situation, and you're right. And you're also right that if we could do something for this woman to not have to have the trauma carry with her through her life, we should do that. I actually agree with that. And the church would agree with that. However, what the church teaches is that we can't do evil so good can come from it. We can't kill somebody just so that to try to heal from trauma. Like, for example, not everyone will agree with this, but I think most people, if they care about law and order, would agree that a woman does not have a right to kill her rapist when he's in prison, because as long as he's alive, that traumatizes her. Would you agree with that, even though he's a scumbag, that she shouldn't still have the right to kill him when he's in prison?
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So for me, then, if we believe that, like, well, we understand it's traumatic and it's difficult, but that doesn't give you the right to kill him. We have other ways we're going to punish him for what he's done. It seems to me it would, hundreds of times fold, it'd be much more obvious then that if she can't kill the rapist to try to alleviate the trauma from what happened, then she shouldn't be allowed to kill the child for that same reason. That the child, I mean, he or she is a victim too. I mean, I believe every child has not just a right to life, but they have a right to come into existence as an act of love between a husband and wife. That a child has a right to the mother and father to come into existence from an act of love, not an act of violence. So the rapist has violated this child's rights too, and we shouldn't further the violation by harming the child because of what his father has done. So that's what I would take from it, and also that's what the church would teach as well, that there, even if you choose abortion, the trauma from rape never goes away. It's always – every day is a day of healing for those who are the victims of violence. The question is, are we going to add more violence to violence? And I don't think we should do that. So what do you think of that?
I totally agree with you. I think it's something – I mean, as a man, it'd be hard to kind of wrap my mind around. You know, I'm a dad of two beautiful babies, and
yeah,
the thought of abortion always just – I don't know. It's just unsettling, but I also understand different arguments that are presented in my faith. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think? And I really have never really had anything to go on. Like, well, you have a point, man. I'm not that person, and I don't know in that, for instance, how we could go about it. I guess she could seek counseling or,
she would.
I know.
You'd have to admit that someone who's involved in trauma, Eric, that There's no one quick, easy solution to that. That this is a wound people are constantly healing from and have to learn to come and find peace from if they've been a victim of violence or injustice. But would you agree, though, that we should avoid violent solutions to try to ease trauma, especially violence towards innocent people?
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. Okay. Wholeheartedly.
Okay, well, I think that's should be helpful for you. And then, let that sink in a bit to think about, because it is a very difficult case. Many people are against abortion except for this case. And so I understand where they're coming from, but I think if they think about it a bit more, they can see why we should let good conquer evil and not try to conquer evil with more evil. So thank you for calling, though.
Eric, thanks very, very much for that call. And we're happy to have a discussion with anybody who's pro-choice. Why are you pro-choice is our question today. If you have an answer for that you would be willing to share with us and discuss with us, give us a call, 888-318 888-344-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to JP in Cleveland, Ohio, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, JP. Your question for Trent Horn.
Hi, I'm pro-life, but I like to challenge myself. I like to make myself more pro-life, I guess to say. And I have two questions. One, life ends when your heartbeat is stopping. So shouldn't life begin when your heartbeat starts to beat, when your heart starts to beat?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when a person's heart stops beating, that is the onset of clinical death. But it's not necessarily the permanent end of their biological existence or biological death, because there's many cases where people's hearts have stopped beating and then we are able to resuscitate the person, with paddle, the paddles rubbed together. I mean, Sai, you know what medical instrument I'm speaking
clear.
About. Clear.
That's called a resuscitator.
Is it a resuscitator?
No, it's not okay. Called a – it's called a –
defibrillator. Defibrillator.
Zapper. No, defibrillator. Okay, it's a defibrillator.
I'm probably glad they don't call it the zapper.
I was going to keep going until just landed on it by chance.
Yeah, so JP, people, their hearts have stopped, and then we have got them going again. But you're right, if a person's heart stops for a long enough period, then blood flow does not go to the brain, and the brain begins to die. And then the body begins to – when the brain dies, the body can't work together, and it turns into a corpse. So a beating heart is something that big organisms like you or me need, but very, very small living things actually don't need a heart. I mean, bacteria are alive. They don't have a heart. Plants are alive. They don't have hearts. And little embryos, human beings, when they are conceived, they're small enough that they don't need a heart. They're able to grow and develop without one. But when they get big enough, the baby will develop a heart as it needs one to continue growing. And so that is just part of their existence. So human life should be defined not by heartbeat, but by something I call organic unity. So when you lose organic unity is when your body parts work together so you stay alive. So you lose organic unity at death. You know, at death, they don't work together. You turn into a corpse. But at conception, that's when you first have organic unity because the little parts work together to continue to grow and develop until that organism dies. So is that a helpful explanation?
Would scientists agree with you if you take out abortions? Because I know many scientists are pro-choice because of political reasons. But if you would take out this thing, would scientists believe with you if they would ask?
Believe me about what?
That life ends when
when organic unity is lost. Now scientists they disagree. There is some disagreement among scientists about when exactly death occurs. Most of them tend to agree that it's at brain death, when there is no more electrical activity in the brain, especially in the lower part of the brain. And you would ask them, well, why is that death? And they'll say, well, at this moment, now the body can no longer work together to stay alive, and it's going to start decomposing. So a corpse decomposes. What that means, decompose, it literally means to take apart. You know, a corpse, it starts falling apart, basically. It decomposes. And so they'll say at brain death, the body doesn't work together. That's what they'd pick that moment. But their reason why, it would essentially be the loss of organic unity. And we achieve that unity, though, at conception. So that is at the moment when the body parts, when sperm ceases to be, egg ceases to be, and you have a new human being that comes into existence, and the little body parts, even as a single cell, work together to grow and develop. And we know that that is a human organism because it needs the same things you and I need to keep developing: time, nutrition, and the right environment. And as long as from conception onward, the embryo has that, it will continue to develop unless something brings about its demise. So I would recommend, if you'd like some more information on when life begins, though, you'd check out my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. And in the chapter for skeptics, I put forward all the evidence for human life beginning at conception. But thank you very much for calling.
Indeed. Thank you. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Why are you pro-choice with Trent Horn? Right after this.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Pope Francis said,
The key that opens the door to faith is prayer. Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I fell away from the practice of my Catholic faith in my college years. But after I got married and we were expecting our first child, I had an enormous tug to come back to my roots. I went to an incredible Catholic store in my town and was blown away by the kindness and knowledge of the staff. They not only recommended books for me and my bride, but they promised me prayer support for my journey back to the faith. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. I have to credit them for helping me on my journey home to the Catholic Church. Now they consider me part of their family. And I have shared with them my oldest son's desire to become a Catholic priest someday. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at IncredibleCatholicStore.com. That's IncredibleCatholicStore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our Super Monday show. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and today our question is for you. Why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice listener, we're very grateful to have you as a listener, and we would love to discuss with you your reasons for being pro-choice. Our number, 888-318-7884. If you are pro-choice for any reason, even if you're only limitedly pro-choice, I suppose there's limits that some people put on the time of pregnancy or the situation in which they favor choice, or if you are just unreservedly a pro-choice person, we would love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. Why are you pro-choice? Our topic, our guest, Trent Horn, the author of Persuasive Pro-Life, and I do not know which button to push on here. I believe it is number one. So maybe you should tell Aline that I am about to push button number one. Because all right, Kim in Manchester, Connecticut, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Are you behind door number one? Is that you, Kim?
Yes, this is me.
Okay, thank you. We had a little confusion here. Your question for Trent Horn.
You wanted to speak to someone who was pro-choice.
I apologize. I should have asked you a question. Why are you pro-choice?
I was pro-choice because my grandmother actually went to prison for committing an abortion on her daughter when it was illegal years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually was an unwed mother, and I was people would say, well, why don't you have an abortion? But because of my grandmother's action, I just felt I couldn't, because God would not just give me a child when I wanted it if I gave it up so easily. But I always felt it was a woman's right to choose, because some people I felt might not have the resources to properly care for the child. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't emotionally stable to raise a child. Some people who adopt children might not necessarily care for the child in the way it should be cared for. Mm-hmm. There was a multitude of reasons, but I was looking at it from a human level, and I forgot that when I converted to Catholicism, because I was baptized as a Catholic as a child, but I didn't actually make my first communion until Easter Vigil this past year. And when I started really thinking about it from God's view, I realized now that I am so thankful that I made the right decision.
Okay, so it sounds like, him, that You were at one point in favor of abortion because of your personal family history and thinking, well, you know, people have different circumstances. But I think you're right that when we look at things sometimes purely from a human or a pragmatic perspective, when we think, well, what should I do for what best helps me? Well, that can justify all sorts of, you know, rude or cruel ways of treating other human beings if our ultimate philosophy is I'm going to look out for number one. So I'm glad, though, that through your conversion, you've been able to see things from God's perspective. And I think anybody, though, when it comes to the issue of abortion, if they just look at it from a truly human perspective, which is one that practices all the virtues that any human can understand, like justice, courage, temperance, prudence, or wise thinking, they'll see that abortion is wrong as well. So I'm very grateful for the testimony you've shared, and I do hope you'll call us back again another time.
Kim, thank you very, very much.
Thing I ever did to have my child. Thank you and take care.
Oh, God bless you for saying that. I think there are many, many women in this world who would agree with you, and men as well, but we just don't do quite the work. We don't have to do the our labor is less. Kevin in Texas listening on 9:10 a.m. You are on with Trent Horn. Why are you pro-choice?
Hey, Trent. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, thanks for taking my question. And it's not more of a, I don't know if I'd club myself as a pro-life or the pro-choice. I'm kind of in between. I go find myself going back and forth. But what I also find is in today's world, we often find ourselves trying to put people in little boxes. Either they're pro-life or they're not, or either they're pro-choice or they're not. And so my thinking is that this is a very personal decision between the person going through the choice of having to have an abortion or not. It's a decision between that person and their God, right? And I understand, first and foremost, thanks for all that you do in persuasive your counseling out here on the radio shows and things like that. I get it. I, being a man, I keep saying my prayers, and you know, I'm a Catholic, and the thing that comes to my mind is, do not bring me to the test, right? I hope that I never have to make that choice of whether to abort or not. And luckily, I'm a male, so I don't have. That's never going to happen. But to the
woman, you could be involved in a position, Kevin, where you cause a child to come into existence who could be in danger of being aborted, so you could be involved in an abortion decision.
I agree with you there, and that's possible. But to me, and again, it comes down to the woman having the child and her God, and it's a very personal decision. And I just, you know, I'm struggling with trying to put people in a box saying, you are pro-life or you are pro-choice. By the way, if you were to ask me where are you leaning towards, I am in the pro-life category, if you want to put me in one. I mean, I hate putting myself in that same box, because I don't know what I would do if I was in the woman's position. And I'd let you answer that.
Okay. Well, I think, Kevin, I agree with you that abortion is a very personal decision. Well, I hear that said a lot, but I also want to think, what does that mean exactly? If something is a very personal decision, what that means is it's something that affects a large part of my life, my existence as a person. It might be a decision that I make that very few other people come to know about. But just because something is a personal decision, that doesn't mean any decision I make is morally right. I mean, you could say, for example, that a man's decision to commit adultery is a very personal decision. I mean, it's something that affects a very intimate part of his life, his marriage. It's something maybe only a few people will find out. And if he chooses to commit adultery, that's between him and God, right? Well, we would say, I mean, that's all true, but it doesn't follow from that abortion is morally right just because it's a personal decision. In many, whether something is a personal decision or an impersonal decision, you know, whether, you know, you're out in public and you're going to, and everyone's watching you, and you're either going to be rude to the waiter or polite to the waiter. It's not whether a decision is personal or impersonal, public or private. It's whether with this decision, are we going to choose good and avoid evil? That's what we have to look at. And I agree with you, pro-choice and pro-life are labels that are kind of vague for people. So, but we can draw a line and say, look, should it be legal to end the life of a human being before they're born directly through abortion, or should it be illegal? We can just ask that question. You either say yes, no, or I don't know, I'm not sure how to answer. And we can just kind of go from there. So I'd say, look, even if something's very personal, even if it's a decision we would never be involved in. I mean, for example, you know, there was a time before I was married, I didn't have children. And you would say that raising children or disciplining children is a personal issue. But just because something is personal, and before I had kids, I couldn't understand what it's like to be a parent, it wouldn't follow it's okay to beat your kids or abuse them. So once again, it's not whether something's personal. It's not whether something is between us and God. Everything is between us and God. The question is, are we going to choose good and refrain from evil? The most fundamental moral duty we have as human beings. And when it comes to abortion, we do good and refrain from evil by not choosing abortion and by choosing to let this child be born and to be cared for. So I hope that's helpful, and thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Kevin. Why are you pro-choice is our question. We go now to Mary Jo in Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio 89.7. Mary, your question, or excuse me, I shouldn't say your question. Why are you pro-choice?
Because we are all pro-choice. Calling, using the term pro-choice, when you are for that, you where you approve of abortion or would choose abortion, is a misnomer, because we are all pro-choice. It's just that some of us believe you should make that choice before there is a baby involved. Other ones think it's all right to make it once the baby's involved, and that's not fair. Not fair to the baby or the parent. And the people who think that abortion solves the problem of after effects are they are not stopping to think that I don't know how many people are probably not even aware that the suicide rate of girls who have had
Mary Jo, I'm gonna jump in here, actually, and I'm very thankful that you called in to point out actually how the term pro-choice is ambiguous, and that's why I use it, just because many people prefer it to describe themselves. But you're right that in one sense we're all pro-choice, you know, that we all believe people should be able to choose good things, and in another sense we're all pro-life. We all agree that life is good. We shouldn't go around killing innocent people. The real question we want to ask ourselves is, are the unborn human beings, and should we treat them like human beings? And I would contend that abortion does not treat the unborn like human beings, because we do things to unborn children we wouldn't do to born children. We don't kill born children when their parents are in financial straits, when their parents are in extreme poverty, or even if their parents are victims of rape or violence. We don't kill born children for those reasons. We find a way to help born children. And it just seems clear to me we should do the same for the unborn and not take advantage of the fact. And I truly believe that many people defend legal abortion and not infanticide, because it's easy, because abortion's kind of an abstract thing. It's just behind the walls of a clinic, as it's so-called. But when you see abortion for what it really is, and I recommend going to websites like Center for Bioethical Reform to see what abortion is like, then I think you see that it's not a humane solution for life problems.
Mary Jo, thanks very much for the call. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't called yet, but you are pro-choice, we'd love to hear from you. 888-318-7884. Trent will be here for another hour after this top of the hour break, and we will continue to take your calls on the topic of why are you pro-choice. 888-318-7884. That's 888-31-TRUTH. Why are you pro-choice? Call and let us know. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.